Good afternoon. Open session, IDM program update, room 209. A, event start 5 p.m. to 6:15 p.m., March 14, 2018.
Dear all, we will be starting in a minute, so please take a seat. Start. So welcome everyone back to the IDN sessions. This is IDN program update. Just to admin staff to inform you, right now we don't have the Adobe Connect room, so the remote participants, if you are listening and would like to make some comment, please send the email to ICANN61-209A@ICANN.org. We have Amanda help us here to read your comments out. Okay, our next slide, please. So for this presentations, we will go through the overview of the IDN programs progress by me, and then the IDN implementation guideline by Mats, and then two community updates from Latin generation panels and New Obrami generation panels. We supposed to have a lot of questions on that. Please do so, because exchanging the question will clarify a lot of things for your work. Okay, for the first one, next please. IDN program update. We have basically three main portions of work of the project. The first one is for the top level, which is divided into general TLD and the CC TLD. For TLD, we have Ruson LGR, the IDN variant implementations, and LGR toolset. And for CC TLD, we have the CC TLD fast track process. And then for the second level of the GTLD, we have IDN implementation guideline, which will have the session in detail later, and the reference second level LGR. And then the last part is the community outreach and involvement from the last meeting. Okay. For the Ruson LGR, in brief, in the background, IDN 2008 suggests that to move forward, we should reduce the opportunities for confusion. For example, restricting some characters to be used and use the variant technique. So then the Ruson LGR mechanism been born. And then it aims to support the IDN TLD in scripts by the communities globally. And it also should provide secure and stable definitions of the valid IDN TLDs. It also should be able to determine variants of the labels. Next, please. excuse me. The way they work is because of different scripts has a different way of handling. So we form the generation panel by scripts. Each generation panel will take care of their own scripts, maybe except the New Obrami generation panel, which has altogether 9 scripts. The task of generation panel is to develop the LGR proposal. In the proposal is comprised of 3 main portions. The first is what are the allowed code points to be in. The second is what is the variance of that, depends on the definition of the generation panels. And the last thing is the rules. For example, in some of the scripts, you can have vowels that go below the characters, and you shouldn't have two that type of vowel consequently. This is not aimed for grammar or anything. It's because of it will create the instabilities in rendering, and it can cause the confusable and security issues. When the generation panel submit their proposals, the process will be going to the integration panels, which will combine all these proposals into one single root zone LGR. There might be multiple rounds of revision between the GP and the IP, and after that, it will be integrated into the root zone. Next, please. This is the status of the all generation panel that we have. We plan to cover all the scripts, 28 scripts in the Unicode today. As you can see, only very few scripts that has not been seated. A lot is already in finalizing stage or in active working. So this actually approaching to the finalizing of the work. Okay, next please. All right. For the status of the root zone LGR, we released the first release in March 2016, and then the second release integrated in. Now we have 6 scripts in total integrated into the second release in August 2017. In October 2017, we also have Silver Lake LGR went to public comment, and just recently, January, we have Korean LGR went to public comment, which will, the deadline of submission of the comment is 17th of March. So if anybody interested to submit the comment, please do so. Okay. Next, please. Then if we already have the definition of root zone LGR, one thing that it can do is it will be the mechanism that can determine if the labels is valid or invalid. So from the pictures on page 10, when you have this LGR in place, when you take the input as the labels, it can first thing determine if it's invalid or valid, and the second thing is generate the possible variants. And depends on the rules, it also can designate which variant is allocatable and which is blocked. So this is the mechanism of it. Next, please. So because going back to the previous slides on the status of the GP, a lot of definitions on the LGR is close to the finishing line. So I can has called for expert group of study to make a study of how to implement these definitions. So we have called for expert last month, February 2018, and this month we are forming the group. We have quite a good response from multi-stakeholders, GNSO, CCNSO, and LAC AAB. Okay, next please. Okay, the last part of the work for the root zone is LGR 2 set. Just to repeat briefly for the one who didn't join last sessions. So this tool is actually specified for generating the format in RFC 17940. The tools can create, can view, can use the LGR, and can manage. It can compare to LGR, and it also can review what is the new LGR come into effect, the existing one. The online is now in beta development as the link in the presentations. It's also open source, distributed as BSD license, so feel free to adopt and modify it to meet your needs. The user guideline is also at the link, and the tool will require username and password. It can be found on page 3 of the user guide. Then go to the CCTLD work. We have the IDN CCTLD fast track, and this is the status so far. Now we have 58 CCTLD label from 40 countries and territories. The latest one we have is Moratani.mr in Africa. Next, please. Okay, also this is just the explanation of the previous map. Also, there is a currently under review is the fast track process itself. It has been in action since 2015, and right now we have quite good progress. We already have been to two public comments, and currently is at the risk and mitigation steps for the next version of the process. Next, please. Okay, for the second level, we have reference second level IDN tables. These are the tables that already in the format of LGR format, IFC 7940, developed by the guidelines that is focused on the security and stabilities. So currently we have 27 for the second level reference published already. So you can see the list of group Latins, Swahili Lakes, mixed scripts, and also others. Next, please. Okay, for the last part, communications and outreach, since the last meeting that we report, for the direct outreach, we did the trainings on IDN in Maldives because they are going to form the panel soon. Also, in December 2017, we do the training to Sinhala generation panels, which is newly seated in Sri Lanka. And back to back on that, we have Neo-Brahmi generation panel face-to-face meeting because in Sri Lanka, they use Sinhala script and Tamil is the joint script with the Neo-Brahmi. Then we also have the Latin generation panel face-to-face meeting in January in Belgium. Okay. We also published the blog. Please check it out because besides it's enjoyable to read about the 11 scripts that is coming from South Asians, it also provides some of the technique how they manage the cross-script variants among those scripts. Other stuff is we also update the work during the ICANN meetings like we are currently doing now. The webpage ICANN.org/IDN will be the main page of our communications. Also, the communities wiki pages we maintain for all the generation panels. So we just currently create the new one for Sinhala generation panel as well. And lastly, the mailing list. We have mailing list for all the GPs and also for the IP. Okay. All right, so thank you. So that's all for the IDN update. You can follow us on idcan.org/IDN and IDN program at icann.org for emails. Thank you. So that's the first one in the agenda. Let me pause for a few minutes and see if there are any feedback or questions here or online.
Date of IDNs, can we have a report on IDN adoption? What is the adoption of IDNs?
Okay.
How do we get that information?
Adoption as in like number of domain names in IDN. We probably have to take that comment back and get back to you. We might have to work with the universal acceptance.
Universal acceptance will not have that data.
Yeah, you can. She's able to publish the URIT.
You have to come at the microphone.
Come.
Yeah. This is Abdulbaram Galila for the record. You can see the report published by EURIT.eu regardless to the domain names, IDNs inside Africa and the Middle East.
No, so we need the entire...
we'll see.
Oh, so, for example, we have some TLDs which have gone into already the root zone, the some scripts. So, are there any scripts which has been applied by people for TLDs on those scripts? Is there any uptake of those? Why I'm interested to know that is because community is putting too much of work, too much of hard work, many years of work going into the system. And what is the result of that? If there any uptake, is there any adoption? Are we just doing the waste work, or there's no use of that? So I'm just wondering that our time is put on constructive use.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, we have Samad also wants to come in online, and then Matt. Samad, please.
Thank you, Pritinan. So, yes, I also wanted to point all of you to the annual report, which is published by URID, which actually publishes the numbers which different ID and TLDs are, I guess, as far as registrations are concerned. So that data actually is available, and please let us know, and we'll actually follow up and share a link with you for that report as well. Thank you.
Hi, this is Victor Duchovny. In my surveys of various domains, I see about 2% of domains being XN-dash-dash, you know, IDN domains, if that's a useful number.
Ahmed, please.
We're not only talking about IDN TLDs. Of the new gTLDs, more than half of them have IDN defined under them, so on second level. But we don't know how much that is actually used. Some of them have hundreds of IDN tables, so supporting many scripts and languages. But how much is it used? I think that would be very interesting to know.
Yeah, let me reply for your question, please. This is the main goal of USG in order to give a lot of awareness session and I reply to your You said that I agree with you that the percentage of domain name IDN domain names is somehow low. Seems low, but this is the main goal of Universal Acceptance Steering Group to make some awareness plans in order to promote these IDNs and to get the next billion of people online. I think there is an ambassador program also for USG to encourage people to visit software developers and software API programmers in order to enhance all of that and to make the user trust the application and to make the application compatible with IDNs and AIs.
Okay, we have Dennis next.
Thank you. So I want to respond to AJ because it sounded to me that why are we doing this work? And to me, it's not about, I mean, while it might be interesting to know the uptake of IDNs, which is roughly 2-3% of global domain names right now, and that's referenced in the URID report. It sort of goes back to universal acceptance and the chicken and egg example, right? We're doing this work in order to enable communities using their own scripts in TLDs and domain names. If we do not do this, we will far those communities and script communities will be far from actually using this technology. So, again, it's an interesting data point to know where we are today, but we're not doing... That data point is not driving our effort. It's going, you know, far beyond that. It's enabled those script communities, language community, to use their own scripts in domain names and identifiers.
And this is exactly, I think, my point. That and I think we are all doing LGR work because we believe in that mission very prominently. And today morning, I was speaking in this DNA conference, and I pulled up their site. This is 336 million domain names are registered till now, which is 334, actually, 0.6 million. And I just hear it is 2% of, if this is true, this is not a small number at all from the IDN's perspective, considering that we just started on IDN registration, not very far. But I am yet to see myself even a single advertisement, single mailer telling their IDN. I have not yet seen. We might have so many domains, and that's the reason I was just wondering, and maybe we can discuss this in this group or later sometime in an appropriate forum, where we have certain scripts which has gone to the root zone, and you and me both are on the same page that this is for the community to adopt the language and register TLD. But are there any applications? That's what I am asking. Are there any takers of the domain names? Are there people who are using it? To these 2% people, I just wonder, are the people who block their brand, who are interested to block their brand, and it's just lying there. So we are really not addressing the language community as such till today. And how do we reach there is then another question which comes in. That's the reason I asked the number and what is the uptake and how people use it. If the 4 scripts have gone into the TLD root zone, are there any, and 1 year almost have passed, is there any application under the script for TLD? That's the question I wanted to ask.
Okay, Ma, please.
All good points. You say, you know, reports about 300 million domain names. But in fact, you know, if you're talking non-IDN domain names, probably 97% of them are not used, right? They are just, you know, parked domain names, right? So
this is all ASCII domain names, not IDNs.
Yeah, well, okay, what I'm saying is all the non-IDNs, probably 97% of them are not used by end users. They are just parked, right? They are reserved. You have my brand, I have a brand name, and then I reserve to, you know, my brand name in 27 different TLDs, but I'm not using them.
It is the same point in the morning.
So the actual usage, the domain name registration compared to the actual usage of domain is completely different. So it may happen, I don't know. It may happen that the actual IDNs, the percentage of actual use in terms of configuring my web server or my, you know, whatever, is maybe higher than the normal, you know, non-IDN domain names, right? I'm not sure we know it. Uh-huh. There's ways to discover that, but then it's just the usage from the owner of the domain name. But then, are the actual end users using this? Is yet another question, right? So we need to be careful on describing what usage means because there's different facets and they don't mean the same thing.
Right. So, you know, just as a data point, I collect Google's transparency report, which lists domains that are used by enough people for email that Google actually notes statistics about them. I have 150,000 of those. 8 are IDNs. So at least in terms of large, prominent email domains, very little so far. But one can also look at numbers like Alexa. You know, those domains are in use. So if you wanted to look for usage rather than just registration, there are some, you know, things that show live domains, not just registered.
Any site you can point to?
For Alexa, certainly there's a daily download of it from the University of Michigan. The Google Transparency Report is easily found on their website, and you can download their data. I keep a cumulative list of that data, but they publish about 30,000 domain names each day that were used 8 days ago. They don't give you live data. It's delayed slightly. So if you like, come talk to me. I'll show you some resources. But, yes, very light usage for email, and lots of software like my Mac can't reply to the email that you sent me with the ID, and I had to reply to you by other means. Yes.
Dr. Ajay.
Different question.
Dr. Ajay, correct me if I am wrong, please. I think what our colleague here said about most of the domain names or around percentage of the domain names or email addresses in IDNs in India, it's not used. I think this is not the case in India. As the government push in that and deal with this, their customers, and deal with their employees through the IDN email address or through domain names. Yeah, am I right?
Correct. And there is a different region. If we get into that discussion, we will have EAI-focused discussion on that. I can reply you later. This is partially correct, partially it's disappointing data there. And there is a reason for that, because everybody do not support EAI. So that's a challenge which we are struggling with. But my question was only on one point, and I think we have got the fair discussion also on that once the LGR has gotten to the root zone, is there any uptake of the applications for TLDs? That is, and that's my source of the another point. That then the next question is obviously the uptake of IDNs and real activity on their IDNs. Because I think we are fairly connected with that internet industry. All of us here, has anybody seen one active IDN? I want to know. There may be 2% registration. Has anybody seen one active IDN which is there and people are using it? Can we name one, two, three? Answer is there is no, there is none. And that's what worries me. And I think we need to work on that also.
Yeah. Well, no active IDNs, that is, of course, incorrect. I mean, there are active IDNs used in Sweden, and there are definitely active IDNs used in China and other countries. So, or are you talking about active IDN TLDs or IDN at any level?
So I don't know about Sweden. I was in China as a USG workshop, and we found none there. There are people who have registered. There are many. We have in India, we have more than 100,000 IDNs registered. More than 100,000. Our company got an award day before yesterday for the best IDN registrant. But I know the traffic, unfortunately, because there's no traffic on those IDNs. And there may be few an IDN. I'm not, when I say one IDN, it is not binary 0 and 1. I'm saying it's a very small meager number. And we don't see them as an example here. When I see VeriSign on IDN, when I see Microsoft on IDN, when I see Google on IDN, when I see Microsoft on IDN, then it's an IDN option to me right now. Twitter on IDN, Facebook on IDN. Right now, if we like it or not, internet is in among 20 domains. We like it or not, this is the truth. Google, Microsoft, VeriSign, Twitter, Facebook, Amazon, PayPal, these are the 15, 20 domains which people use in their day-to-day life. If we want to bring people online, which Dennis said, and this is our mission, we are working on LGR, then we need to have these companies start their IDNs and then get people from the community scale. And then everybody will follow. But I think this is not the agenda right now here. I just wanted to take the number here right now. And if we can have the update on any applications being filed on TLDs for the LGR which has gone to the root zone. That will be very helpful to know.
Yeah, excuse me. So maybe let me try to address 2 points. So the first thing, the uptake of if the LGR going to integrate it into the root zone, then what happened? So for now, we don't have the, because it's a root zone, right? So the consequences round hasn't happened yet. So, but this is not finalized, but this is one of the previous slides that now we have the expert study group taking a look of how can we capture all these definitions into implementations. So that is one way. Another way for the next round GTLD is not finalized, but a lot of possibilities that people are looking at if LGR will be mandatory for the application guidebook. So in the simple word meanings, if your LGR has not finished, you cannot apply for that script. But this is not finalized. So, but it's the possibilities. So right now, for the root zone LGR itself, you probably don't see the application yet because it's not in implementations. So that's first point. The second point is very good that maybe in the update, we probably need some numbers, like how can this already be used. I will take that to be our homework. And we try to come up with some meaningful index or some numbers to see how far we are. Okay, thank you.
Just one data point. I see at least 600,000 domains under the Russian suffix.
Sorry, can you say your name as well?
Viktor Duchovny.
Yeah, thank you.
So that one's by far the most active. The next one is less than 1/10. So somehow that's the biggest use ID and suffix in the root.
Okay.
is the RF.
Okay, thank you. So maybe we let us move to the next item on the agenda. Yes, Professor Kim.
Could you show page 15, please? Minor point. Korean is included in mixed script, and China also uses ASCII, so Chinese is also mixed. And Japanese is missing here. And Japanese also uses ASCII in addition to kana and kanji. So CJK must be included in mixed scripts, I guess.
Okay, thank you. So Matt, please.
Thank you very much. This is about the idea and implementation guidelines. So we have a working group that creates a new version, updated version of the guidelines. So this is the agenda, and I want to say that this is a short presentation of the work. We had a full presentation 2 days ago in a separate session. So the purpose of the guidelines is to give to help the implementation on the second level. So here we're not talking about the root zone, we're talking about the second level. So and that is for any TLD, both IDN TLDs and ASCII TLDs that have IDN support. These guidelines are binding for TLDs that are under contract with ICANN, the registry agreement with ICANN. For other TLDs, such as the CCTLDs, it's a best current practice. Next slide, please. So the work started out in July 2015, and now we are processing a second public comment that was out for ICANN 60. And now, so ICANN 61, we have replies to those comments that have come. And next slide, please. So we have representation of different supporting organizations. I represent the CCIT NSO. So next slide, please. So in the guidelines, there are a number of recommendations, and you see the groups of recommendations. So transition, that is from IDN 2003 to 2008. Today we only talk about 2008, but actually there was a version before. Format of IDN tables, that's about LGR that we recommend as or require as the format for new tables. Consistency between tables and practice around that, variance, similarity and confusability. The draft is of course available for anyone to read. Yes, next slide, please. So the next step is that we finalize the guidelines after the second round of comments, and that final proposal is to be put for ICANN board to adopt or return for updates. We welcome feedback, of course, even though there is no comment period. So you can find the draft, the current draft, in the wiki that we have. So, yeah, that's the end. Any questions on the guidelines? I don't know if all of you were at the session 2 days ago, because then you've heard this, but more lengthy. And we had some discussion at that time. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. So before we move on, let me reiterate again for the email address to send the comment in. Is ICANN61-209A@ICANN.org. Okay, so let's move on to the community updates. First one is Latin Generation Panels. Matt, it's you again. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, this is an overview of the Latin Generation Panel work. This work is for the root zone. Is to create the repertoire of code points of Latin script code points for the root zone, and also creation of variant rules within the Latin script and between Latin and other script. So these are the headlines for the presentation. Next slide, please. Work started in 2016, and in 2017, the group was seated. During the fall, the group has collected information from 209 languages. 209 languages using Latin script as the alphabet, so to say, for their language. And during that work, we found code points that were beyond MSR2, but were needed for some of those languages, and we sent in a proposal for an extension of MSR2, and some of these code points have been preliminary accepted by the integration panel, and preliminary added to the upcoming MSR3. Next slide, please. So if we look at Latin script, it's the writing system which has the most spread over the world. We see that it's used in both North and South America, in Europe, in large parts, most parts of Africa, used in other parts, in parts of Asia, and it's used in Australia and areas around. So it's very well very spread. And secondly, it's also it has a very linguistic spread, meaning that the languages using Latin script are very different. With very different needs of expressing features. And next slide, please. So overview that we started out with MSR2, but we will go over to MSR3. When that is done, we already assume that at least those code points that have been accepted that will only use lowercase letters or consider lowercase letters. Of course, only those are part of MSR2, and only those are p-valid. So nothing else is considered. We can see the Unicode ranges that includes Latin script. We start out with a list of 455 languages. Includes both well-spread and well-used languages, as well as languages with maybe uncertain writing system and very few users. Sort out, we used an index, the EGIDS scale, expanded, graded, intergenerational disruption scale that classifies languages from 1 to, I think, is 8, where 1 is the highest, we primarily looked at the languages 1 to 4, and those are 180 languages, and then we have added a few languages of level 5, those with many users. Yes. So we have seen 279 Latin script code points in our work, and this includes both normal characters and also marks. Next slide, please. So this is the representation of the members of the group. Next slide, please. So the challenges of the work is that there are many languages, also very varied available material for the languages. Some languages are very well described and easy to find information online. Other languages are more sketchy described, so it's much harder to determine what they really use. There are many code points, so here again, we looked at 180 languages of EGIDS 1 to 4, and then we added not 120, there were 120 of level 5. Of those, we looked at 29, and we selected languages with at least 1 million users. And the work, as I've said before, it's both to determine the repertoire to be included and also the variants to be defined, or the variant rules to be defined. So we divided this work into two subgroups. So next slide, please. Yeah, so most work has been done in the repertoire group, most members there. So, we can take next slide, please. So 195 of the MSR2 code points have been attested. So there's 80 code points, 85 code points that have not been attested. So they are not included. And there are three additional code points that we were not in MSR2 that we have proposed for MSR3, or actually we proposed more, as been talked about earlier today, but three have been accepted for MSR3. And now we are working with the variant rules with Cyrillic script, with Greek script, with Armenian script, and within Latin script, respectively. And that work is still ongoing. So next slide, please. The goal is to finalize this by the end of the second quarter this year. Anyone else from the? There are more members here from the Latin Generation panel. Anyone else want to add something to my presentation? So, but next slide, there are questions, comments.
Okay, thank you, Mats.
I have a question.
Okay, please, Dr. Ajay.
These LGRs for Latin, already I see a lot of TLDs in Latin character sets, which are there. Will it have an impact on recursive or retrospective impact on the existing TLDs?
If I remember it correctly, there were two IDN TLDs with two IDN TLDs with Latin script in the new GTL deal round, and both of them were German. So there were not very much interest of Latin IDN TLDs. And I don't think there is any IDN CCTLD based on Latin script. I mean, of course, ASCII, but not IDN. So does anyone know of any? No? So the interest of and it's quite natural. I mean, ASCII covers very much need, and if you add IDN, then you decrease the amount of users that can input that character. So.
Okay, can I just add from some comments? Like he said, IDN CCTLD for Latin is not allowed in the fast track process at the moment. Okay. So without any other question, let's move to the next item, Neobrahmi Generation Panel Updates by Dr. Ajay.
Thank you, Pratinan. This is Ajay Datta from Neobrahmi Generation Panel, based out of India. And this is the basic agenda which we are going to cover. Introducing NBGP members, the efforts taken, methodology, cross-variant, what we have done there, and future plan of action. Next slide, please. I think we are a panel. Neobrahmi is a script name, and that's the reason this is named as a panel. And This script covers Devanagari, Gujarati, Bengali, Gurumukhi. There are 9 scripts which Devanagari covers, and it covers almost 45 languages under those scripts. And we have a geographical coverage also in between 4 countries, between India, Sri Lanka, Nepal, and Bangladesh. We are yet to go to Bangladesh, but we have visited Sri Lanka and Nepal for face-to-face meetings. For Nepal, we went for Devanagari because they use Devanagari in Nepalese. And we went to Sri Lanka for Tamil. And we are going in April for Bengal to finalize that. Devanagari uses 11 out of 22 scheduled languages, which we call it official languages. India is a little difficult country in terms of languages. We can imagine 22 official languages are there. And we do not have any national language. So there is, if somebody wants to communicate with government of India, he can communicate with any of the languages, and it is allowed. Not required one specific language, other than English, of course. And Devanagari is used by 45 other languages in India, as I have already mentioned. And it is also used in other countries also, which is Fiji, Mauritius, and everywhere else. So it is going to have some impact also. Very small population, but it still uses it. Next slide. And this is our panel. I don't know how many members are usually there in LGRs. We are 56 members, and now we are actually 60 members. We added 3 more Malayalam members and 1 in Kannada. So we are almost 60 members in volunteer. So it's a large panel, so whenever we have the call, we have many members joining in and participating. That's very good. Because of 9 scripts, we need many people to participate. And I am joined by 2 more co-chairs, which is Mr. Kulkarni and Professor Narayan. And rest of the team members are also, who are playing their role by script, are also listed here. Next, the interesting part, and I think this is something which I wanted to share with everyone, is I joined this panel and almost this time when we were struggling to collect the volunteers and get started. And this was the status in January 2017, and Devanagari was only under discussion right now, and no other discussion has started at that time. Next slide. And this is where we are today. And you can see that we have progressed in almost every script. Actually, Devanagari LGR is for a final comment from IP. As soon as we hear from IP, if we do not hear any the further change, it's likely to go for public. I think we have done, we have already done 7 rounds with IP for the document, and that has really helped us. Thanks to IP for bearing us for many rounds in this Devanagari, because we wanted to create our framework and learning ready for all the scripts. We know what IP needs, and this is the strategy which we followed, that let us do 1 script first, learn from that what requires by IP, and then follow that and complete that task by the community itself first. And that really helped us to speed up the things further, so that we need not to go for each script and do our mistakes and come back with the same changes. And that has really helped us to speed up the matter. And we knew exactly what IP will need. And this was briefed to the every panel. And this is where we are. We have already almost done all the scripts for, we call it phase 1, which means we have done at least 1 round of all the scripts, except Malayalam right now, with IP. And we have heard the feedback from that. Malayalam, we had an issue, so we are, I think, sorting out this. And by April, we should be able to close that also and send at least 1 round. We have things ready, but it is not yet in the sending stage to IP. Next. And this is the history which goes like that. Most of the things you all know, 2010 IDNs started, but 2014.Bharat started in India. Government of India started .bharat, and there are many variants also which government registered, Bharat, Bharat with Halant, which are there and blocked by government. And they are not available for registration for domains, but these domains were, these TLDs were blocked by Government of India. We have four TLDs available there, .bharat, .company.bharat, .siksha.bharat, and one more is also there. No, I think yeah, one more is also there. So we have these domains are also available, which are actively used and available for registration. NBGP was seated in 2015, and that is how this started. I already shared with you the current status. Next. I think you will agree that in 1 year we achieved a remarkable progress in this year. And how we achieved is, I'm just trying to share with you these 17 points of actions which we followed very clearly. So once I joined this panel, we discussed with our co-chairs and the members, and we said that we will have no rejection policy for anybody who wants to contribute. And that really helped us to people to participate. Because I have seen in the community work, a lot of people do not apply if they have a fear of rejection. And they are good. And we need them there. So we had a welcome, and we wanted to have a lot more people. And that's the reason we could increase the number base, and we have activity there. And one more thing which I finalized is, we have a prefixed date for a conference call. Every fortnight, and a conference call with a fixed agenda pre-circulated to the community. So that everybody is aware that he's supposed to update and get back to the community and update everyone what is happening in the script and what has been done. Face-to-face meetings were done with the full numbers. And we were almost 20 of us, which were in Nepal and we were in Sri Lanka. Follow-up on a fixed date and time. So one thing which we really helped, and we had a ICANN resource with us in India, which is Akansha, and help from Pitinen to follow up in between the 15 days time. And that helped us that if somebody wants some resource to be helping, if they want some guidance, if they want some further feedback in between and wants to communicate with somebody else as an expert, we ensure that it happens during those 15 days and progresses further. We also finalized a champion. So we did not leave this to the entire community and with no accountability. We also identified among the community one champion who would like to coordinate and update to the entire community. Because obviously you can't hear everyone, and there are 9 scripts. So we had 9 champions. And all of us, all of them are going to help these 9 champions. And we organized the cross-script calls, which Pitinen mostly led, where we had 2 people or 3 people talking to each other and solving the cross-script issues. And once they finalize that these are the cross-script which they can't solve, then it reaches to the community, and we had looked at both of them, what they solved and what is required to be solved. And we also followed on a motivation on a conference call and appreciation on a call. When somebody is delivering on time, then we really, all of us appreciated that work. And that really also helped us, to more people to focus and deliver the result that people lack. And led by example, so I ensured that I will join every call. And I have attended myself more than 40 calls in last 1 year. No matter where I am, I have joined that call and attended that call and ensure that everybody joins that call. This gives no excuse to anyone not to join that call. And we gave a flexibility that it's a 1 hour, 1.5 hour call. You do your 5-minute update and you can leave. So it's not very difficult for somebody to, it's not forced to stay for 1.5 hour. You are fine to update and then you can go. So this worked very well, and people accepted that. We also had government stakeholders. That's very interesting. And I personally went and met the Secretary IT Government of India and requested them to give us the linguistic experts to us, which they did.
And they are not on our mailing list, but they are available to consult right now. So we can consult with them, we can talk to them, and I do that talk on offline basis with them whenever we need some guidance and approval of what we are going through. Because ultimately, when we submit LGR, we will need their certificates to file that this is okay document. So it is important to get them in loop to finalize. And the collaborative document, one more opportunity which I created is we created a Google Doc share document. So there is no person who owns that document. This document is available to you in a shared availability, and anybody can update anything, put a comment there. So that allows people to work in their own convenience. And there is no need to share with anybody else on a mailing list. This reduces the number of emails. And this also allows people to comment freely and talk freely and not depend on anybody else. This also created the documents faster and get the status very quickly. Of course, I already mentioned taking support from ICANN for XML. We were offered to have XML creation because we were doing so many scripts and some of us could not create XMLs quickly. So Pitin and Sarmad really helped us in creating those last mile quickly XML conversions. And we use that help whenever it's required. And then we did not wait the proposal to go to IEP when it is complete. We decided the phases. And so that we have the early feedback from IEP. And this obviously loaded the IEP very much for sure. And I know that, and thank you very much for support that work that way so that we could complete it. Without your support, we could not have done that, for sure. So I really acknowledge on this platform and thank you for that. And we created a WhatsApp group, and this is a WhatsApp group which is very healthy. Matt's importantly, this WhatsApp group allows people to get reminded that there's a meeting going to start in 5 minutes. That also helps very well. And if somebody has a question, he can raise this point. He need not to wait for another 15 days for a meeting. Or he need not to wait for a mailing list. Somebody will respond. So he can just put simply on a WhatsApp group and get a response from somebody. And also exchange of mobile numbers automatically happens. And I think this has also brought us all together. And now this group also helps us to share each other's success stories. So that way you become more closer to communicate. Otherwise, you even don't know, and you just know the names. And personal calls to group leaders with Expert Connect. And this is what I did, and I think it helped. Whenever a member wanted to join, I ensured a personal talk with him and or her and motivated him and tell her that this is what the work is, and we require a timeline basis work. And I hope that you are willing to serve this country, serve this linguist community, and then you join. And then obviously they were already sold on this opportunity. And we also had one latest thing, which I forgot to mention in this slide, is two people in our group are there as a trainer. How to look at MSR, how to look at what work is required, what is variant. So we have two people who train a new member for 2 hours of orientation and training and get him through the Devanagari proposal, that this is how the proposal looks like and this is the capability which we require and this is the capacity which we require from you. This has also helped us. And obviously division of responsibility, who is going to look at variant, who is going to look at reporter, who is going to put the history and appendix and all that stuff. And I think the champions did it very well with a collaborative approach. Next. I think this cross-script variant analysis mechanism was very clearly defined because we had cross-script variants, and as I already told, we had a cross-script champions meeting and let them decide what is variant or not variant. And we followed this mechanism of three colors to talk among us. And this really helped us to communicate more faster and quickly reach to a conclusion. And we just ask, are you on red, yellow, or green? And that's all. And this way, the Akansh and Pitin records the submissions, and we take to a conclusion and decision.
And that way, we have very less variants. We decided very less variants in all the scripts. Wherever exact matching is there, of course, we put them in variant. Otherwise, we put them, all of them, as an appendix wherever we thought it's a deceptively similar. And we put a guideline in appendix, which I think Japanese also agreed with me during the last workshop, that they have also done the same way, to put an appendix and say, this looks to be deceptively similar. And while considering for the TLD registration, similarity panel may look into. And then at that time, that can be taken into consideration, not while submitting the application. Mm-hmm. Next. I think this is the future timeline, and we are already sitting in March, and hopefully Sarmad can, Sarmad and IP can confirm whether we can do go live in Devanagari for public comments in March. Hopefully, yes. And then from April, we are having meeting in Bangladesh for finalizing all the scripts which we are going to do, and at least for second round of or third round of discussion with IP, and then submit to IP for final feedbacks. And by August, I think we want to go all the LGRs with public comments. That's the target we have. Hopefully, community is working very hard. All the volunteers are working very hard for that, and we are committed to deliver that kind of result. And IP is going to be bombarded a lot more requests at one go from us. Next slide. Yes, thank you very much. And this is our, we are on social media also. This is what also we created uniquely. So to share and people connect with us, social media, and this date, whatever we are doing is also available on a public forum so that people can freely see what's going on. And I want to also thank Sarmad for continued support for this. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Ajay. We have about 7 minutes left. Please, Matt.
I have a question about the variants and in well, similar. How many variant pairs approximately have you created, and how many in the appendix, just the rough figures?
So it's not a straight answer. It depends on script by script. I think few scripts do not have any variants, and few scripts have variants. And we have, I think, less than 10 variants as a variant definition, and around same number, 10 to 15, in an appendix.
Okay, so quite few.
Quite few, yeah. We discussed, just to elaborate, Matt, and you will appreciate that, what we thought is, let us allow the creativity of the users to register TLDs, not to block them at the registration level. Of course, we don't want phishing or deceptive looking similar, but that can be taken care by a similarity panel. That's their job. However, we thought that we should not put them on the rule check itself, that we block them right away and not allow them to even file an application. And be creative. And I think this principle is accepted by everyone, and that's how we decided that this is how it is going to be.
I want to make a small comment. This is Gangadhar Pandey. I'm assisting the Telugu script. Like Dr. Ajay Datta just presented, we have created profiles in social media platforms with the strategy to involve the community in a big way during public comments phase. Because we, being a very diverse language community, and what the panel is doing, this is straight away accessible to the general public, and we will be going to run some awareness campaigns so that more and more people join this and we have less complications at later stage. Thank you.
It's Pitinan here. Sorry for the remote participants, but I just showed the reports from the cross script from NBGP. So this is how, oops, sorry. So they doing the how can I? Okay, so basically it's go in pairwise, Devanagari and Gurumukhi, Devanagari and Gujarati and so on. It's not all complete 9x9 because some of the script doesn't have the cross variants, but the way it is, for example, they have the section that these are exactly, should be defined as variant because of the identical. And they also have the list that become yellow or orange here, means that it's just similar and it's go to the appendix, not in the XML. They also listed all the thing that already raised and discussed and decided is green, meaning it's not similar enough and won't be in the proposals, but so they know that it has been discussed. So this is just the sample of how they managed.
Thank you, Bettina.
Michelle, please.
Yeah, we found, in fact, that most of the variant analysis were between two scripts because most of the time it's really by pair. I mean, we found, like, you know, like Devanagari would be confusable, I think, Gurumukhi, if I remember well. And so, but they're not confusable with anything else. So we found that many cases it was just reduced to two set of scripts. Maybe there's one case, there's maybe three, but typically it's only between two because each of the, you know, Indian scripts tend to be, you know, kind of grouped by where they came from. So, and also, I mean, another consideration that it doesn't really matter when a combining mark, I mean, dependent var, for example, is confusing because it's never used in isolation. It's always used for base consonant. So this was even more true in the Khmer Lao, all those scripts, where you would have a lot of marks that were confusable, but it doesn't matter because they never use insulation. They have to be attached to a base character. So so we have also a lot of those things, you know, where it doesn't matter if a glyph is confusable if it is cannot be used in insulation in the writing system. So that's reduced, in fact, quite a bit. Because otherwise, you have all those marks that look exactly the same across script, but it doesn't matter because they're not used alone.
And just for the record, Petinan, am I correct to say this document is available on our community page?
It's there, but it's not the latest version. I will update right after.
So, and then, so you have the community page of Neo Brahmi, and that will be available. If you want to. Yeah, this page. Yes. You will get this. You will see the updated version. There are documents there. Yeah.
Okay, we have 3 minutes. Any more comments or question?
Getting the new Brahmi update from you.
No, you're asking a question. well, in fact, we found it. Tiny thing that we want you to add or at least consider is the usage. I know it's not part of the route, but it still should be part of the documentation, is the thing about zero weight joiner and non-joiner, because some we script kind of need it. On UBC, you can't because we're on the route. And we may ask, you know, at least for to have a quick, you know, how is affecting you on, because why we're asking that is, to some degree, those are going to be used as reference for different levels where that restriction does not exist. So it may be useful as a guideline for somebody looking at your document to know what to do if they get, if they don't have the context joiner restriction. So it'd be, obviously you don't have to add anything in the XML because you can't do anything with them. But if you could have a quick, you know, especially for Sinhala, it's going to be an issue, obviously, because you need, in fact, a joiner and non-joiner, I guess, for some. So it's going to restrict them a bit more than usual. Even the name of the country cannot be represented without a joiner, so that's kind of bad. But that's a restriction we have to live with. But anyway, that's a minor thing. So there's a few things like that. But yeah, we think it's pretty ready to go. So close.
So I think I appreciate this little point, and we have already our view on that. So the moment you send us, I think we should revert back to you in 24 hours to finalize it. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. So if there is no any other questions, so I will call this meeting to the end. Thank you, everybody, for joining physically and online. I appreciate everybody's effort, the GP and the IB, and hopefully we can all together work and finish the thing soon. Thank you.
One question which Matt stopped me in the last session, and this is the session I wanted to ask now, this question with Korean, Japanese, and Chinese people. Do you have any idea of IDNs which are already there? What is the adoption in your country? IDNs in Korea for you? Professor, any idea for that? Yeah, domain name. I could not hear you. Second level.
Turn the microphone on.
I cannot remember exactly. I'm not the registry, but about 10,000 or 100,000. I can't remember
exactly. So do you think there is an adoption of IDNs? People are now using it and advertising it?
Yeah, it has been registered and they are used, but not much popular.
Not much popular. Okay.
We probably have to leave the rooms for the make it available for the next one. So I can stop the record now. Thank you. And after we off the record, so I just want to inform you that happy birthday, Michelle. This is his birthday today. In case everyone wants to give him a big hug, so happy birthday. Huh? Should we?
He is 22 years old.
He can drink now.